We're going to read the scriptures from Isaiah 53, and they'll come up on the screen. And I'd just be good to be able to read the scriptures together, and invite you to do that. If you want to follow in the Bible, it's on page 613. But we're going to read the first six verses and of this wonderful chapter, and we'll then remain seated as we just sing, leading us into the word. So Isaiah 53, verse 1, we read together. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Make the book live to me, O Lord. Show me yourself within your word. Show me myself, and show me my Saviour, and make the book live for me. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Isaiah 53 has to be one of the most familiar passages about the cross that we have in the whole of Scripture, and indeed the most recognizable and precious summaries that we have of the gospel. Consider, of course, that Isaiah wrote this 700 years before the event that changed history. In his book entitled Love So Amazing, Robert Moyer suggests this. He says the theme of Isaiah 53 is the greatest theme of the universe, Christ. The work of Isaiah 53 is the greatest work ever performed, redemption. The blessing of Isaiah 53 is the greatest blessing bestowed upon man, salvation. And if we were to go over to the other side of the cross, as it were, and to Acts chapter 8, what do we find? Well, we find here Philip led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to explain the gospel to an Ethiopian treasury official who's just been to Jerusalem. And interestingly, this man is reading from Isaiah 53. But he's struggling to understand who it's about. What is being referred to here? What were these? Are these gripping words about? And he wants to know. And to make a longer story shorter, Acts 8 verse 35 tells us this. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. What a great place to start to share the gospel, Isaiah 53. And what I want us to think about this morning is just the first part of one of the verses here. And it's verse 4, the first part of verse 4, where Isaiah says this, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, let's look at a couple of things that we can draw from that phrase. The first is this: what Christ has won. What Christ has won. So what does it mean that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows? Well, what we see here is that Jesus bears not just our sin, which he does, of course, but he also bears the effects of sin. You see, griefs and sorrows are the effects of sin. If Adam had never sinned, then no one would ever have grieved the loss of a loved one through death. No one would have needed to have shed a tear. The effect of sin, we're told, brings death and sorrow because we live in a broken world. The term griefs used here can also mean infirmities. Therefore, every illness, every disease, every death comes under this heading. Some of these infirmities are physical ones. Others are in the mind. The suffering from mental illness can be so destructive and debilitating. If you've ever been through depression, you'll know that. And what about the loss of a loved one, the pain and the sorrow that brings? Now, whether I've become perhaps more attuned to the presence of suffering, I don't know, but it's there, isn't it? Whether it be that unrelating ache of a chronic illness that saps our strength and tests our resolve, or the strain of a fractured relationship, the fallout of selfish choices, or it could be the wounds from being let down by someone we trusted, or the anguish of watching a loved one battle destructive desires or addiction. The list really goes on. And I don't want to drag you down this afternoon into what Pilgrim's Progress describes as the slough of despond. That's not my purpose, but here's the thing. It wasn't just our sins that Jesus carried on the cross. It was also our sorrows and our griefs. What then does that mean? The first word here in verse 4, surely, can also be translated assuredly, because every part of the gospel has assurance attached to it. It is the confidence that we have in the cross of Jesus Christ, in God's eternal plan of salvation. We don't hope that we are saved, but because we're saved, we have hope. In the Gospels, Jesus uses the term, "I tell you the truth," on a number of occasions. It's the same idea. Surely he has, assuredly he has, verily I say unto you. Same idea, I tell you the truth. For example, in John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." And there's a number of examples that you could look up where Jesus uses that idea of, "I tell you the truth, this is assured." And it expresses the strongest affirmation. And so we're assured that Jesus has carried our grief and our sorrow. In verse 3 of this chapter, we're told that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There we have it again. And now we're told why he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And this theme is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the theme of substitution. He carried the weight of the world's sin and sorrow on himself as he heaved that wooden beam through Jerusalem's streets. He bore the weight of our grief and our sorrow as he hung there on the cross with the nails through his hands and his feet, and the crown of thorns pushed down on his head. So what does it mean that he took up our griefs or infirmities and carried our sorrows? Well, it means sicknesses and pains. Let us turn to the New Testament to where this verse is fulfilled by Jesus in Matthew 8, verse 16. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. I wonder, has someone perhaps said to you at one time or another, I know what you're going through. And you think to yourself, no, you don't. You've never been where I am. But you know, Jesus, in a wonderful way, has experienced it all because he took it all on himself. In Psalm 22, verse 14, we read the messianic words, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Think of the pain when just one of your joints is out of place. Every bone was out of joint when Jesus died on the cross. We could talk, couldn't we, about mental anguish? Well, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, verse 38, says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. My soul is very sorrowful. Jesus has taken every grief and every sorrow. And so we see what Christ has won. But there's also something else, what we will know. What we will know. When you come to a loving Savior, you come to one who knows. He's carried our sorrow. He's the Savior that we need. We're not saying that he literally took every individual disease on himself on the cross. The Bible is clear in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. You see, that's the underlying cause of everything that has gone wrong in this world. The image here is that of our griefs and sorrows being loaded up and carried on his back so that we wouldn't have to carry them. That doesn't, or does that suggest, therefore, that if Jesus bore my sorrows at the cross, then I should not have them anymore and I should not need to experience them? The problem with this view is that it terribly contradicts the personal experience of believers in the Bible and through history, and even terribly contradicts the personal experiences of you and I sitting here this afternoon. That freedom from suffering, from sorrow and grief, is not promised to every believer right now. God can heal, and God does. There was no sickness or sorrow in the Garden of Eden, and you know there will be a day when grief and sorrow will no longer exist because Jesus has already borne it. He's already carried it. And so Revelation 21 verse 4 tells us that in heaven he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. One day, when we enter into heaven, there will be no sin, and there will be no effects of sin. And that's what Jesus secured for us when he went to the cross. Isn't that absolutely stunning? Now, we do, of course, have to be careful when we say that suffering is the result of sin. The next step can be so easily be the assumption that if we are sick, then it is a punishment for some specific sin that we have committed. So the more we suffer, the worse sinner we must be. Well, I'm reminded of the occasion in John 9 when Jesus and his disciples encounter the man who was born blind. And the disciples ask Jesus an intriguing question. They say this, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, here's the thing, both the man and his parents were sinners, just as we all are. But listen to Jesus' answer. "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." This was not about public humiliation. Look at this sinner that God is punishing. This is about God's grace in saving this man. Because griefs and sorrows are the result of a fallen creation. Of course, we can't tiptoe around the fact that disease and suffering are ultimately the result of sin. The perfect creation of God came under the curse, or as Paul describes it in Romans 8:21, is in bondage to corruption. The whole of creation is in bondage to corruption. It needs to be set free. And so infirmities and sorrows are those things in our lives that come because of the presence of sin in the world still. And it is not wise, nor is it spiritual, to pretend that the pains and sorrows of this world don't leave scars that may never fade this side of glory. For anyone who wants God to do something about the suffering in the world, it's too late. He has already done it. Because we read here, don't we, that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. As Charles Gabriel writes in his hymn, "He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden of Calvary and suffered and died alone." When we get to heaven, we will see the nail prints in his hands and his feet. Not blemishes on a perfectly healed body, but permanent reminders of his saving work. Where he took our sin, where he bore our griefs and carried our sorrow, but he will be absent on that day. And as one writer puts it, we will worship him forever with the beauty of his scars in view. There will not be one shred of grief or sorrow in the presence of Jesus. That is the hope that keeps us going each day, that stands the test of time. You see, grief and sorrow will never have the last word. And while we have to endure times of that in the world today, remember that Christ died for them, and one day that will all be gone because of what Christ has won means what we will know, the glory of heaven and perfection in his presence. Let's pray. Father, we come conscious that for some of us we might really feel that we have grief and sorrow. And Lord, we know that we live in a world where there is so much of that. And yet we come and read the scriptures and see that our Savior Jesus, your Son, died on the cross for those griefs and sorrows, that he bore them, he took the heavy weight of them on himself, so that one day all sorrow will be past. Lord, we thank you that we have one who sympathizes with us, one who has gone through what we go through, and gives us grace to do just that for the moment, knowing that it is only for a time. And so, Lord, whatever we're going through at this moment, we just pray for encouragement to know that you know that you have won the victory over all those things because Christ bore them and carried them on the cross. Help us to understand that and to appreciate it in a new way, we ask. For Jesus' sake. Amen.